Elton John's sad song, Say So Much, that went all the way to number two when it came out in 1984, but it kind of feels like yesterday. It's the Afternoon Express on Zoomer Radio. I'm Liz West, and I am excited because today I am joined in studio by Mr. Elton Ron, a.k.a. Ron Camilleri, and he is the man behind the Elton John Tribute Show, which is taking place November 26th at Meridian Hall. Welcome to Zoomer Radio.
Excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, and you know, I just want to paint the picture a little bit for people listening. You look like Elton John.
I know.
You look like a younger Elton John.
Yeah, that's what I get a lot.
Do you get that?
Although sometimes I'll be out on the street. I've had cars stop where they roll down the window and they just say, I just want to say I love your music. So maybe I look a little older than I think. Maybe, I don't know, because...
Maybe they need the Elton John glasses.
Maybe, but yeah, I get stopped a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you? Okay, well, you just answered my third question. We skipped right ahead. No, but so you do. People, because, you know, when you perform, I could see someone kind of losing perspective on you not being the actual Elton John.
Yeah. I found this out pretty early. I didn't really start doing this thing till I was a lot older in life, but... my whole life I was a musician and I played guitar. One day I just bought myself a piano and I taught myself how to play it. And how did I do it?
Oh, you're one of those people. I hate you.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, I just sat down and I learned how to
play.
But
I would have been terrible if it wasn't for Elton John albums, because that's basically how I learned how to play.
What song do you remember the song that you actually
learned? Oh, I started with something really simple.
Yeah, what was that one? Because I might do it.
It was probably Daniel or Rocket Man, which are a little bit simpler, but it's all about the nuance and it's all about the way the voice works with the piano. So I always knew I sounded like him because when I listened to his albums as a kid, I could hit all the notes and I could have the inflection in his voice and I could make it work the way he makes his work. So I knew that was there. Once I started the piano, then it was just a question of, okay, now I'm getting stopped. People are telling me I look a lot like Elton John and I know I sound like him and now I can play piano like him. I just have to look, you know, the costume. So went out and got some sequins, did everything. And now it's like I'm Elton's twin. We did the Elton John convention in Las Vegas and we met Davey Johnson, Nigel Olsen and the band. Everyone but Elton was there. And Nigel came right up to me. He says, Elton has a twin.
And there's something about your mouth. It's weird. Like, it's not just one. You've got kind of the nose.
It's weird.
You know, his nice nose.
Yeah.
The shape of your face. Does he have that little...
the little dimple? No, his dimple is a little square. Everyone tells me I should put the gap between my teeth to make it, like, official.
Literally? You would go to the dentist and...
No, I would probably have to...
Take a little Sharpie.
Do a Sharpie every show. I know guys that do that. A lot of there's impersonators out there. And they come out with the feather boas and the duck outfits and they draw the little gap. Yeah. I'm really not that. What I've tried to do, I know I look like him, I know I sound like him and everything. What I've tried to do is create this persona as Elton Ron, as a guy that just happens to be exactly like Elton.
Right.
So when people come to the shows now, they come to expect Elton Ron, not an impersonator.
Yeah.
And we'll do like all the Elton songs that they want to hear. But sometimes we'll add in a couple other little things. Like I always do it if it's someone's birthday or if someone's passed away. We'll throw in a little extra into Rocket Man or into another song that pays tribute to them. And that's something Elton maybe does, but we'll do it a lot. So there's a lot of musicianship in our show. But at the end of the day, people come and they say, oh, man, I closed my eyes and I thought I was listening to Elton in the 70s. That's the other thing. I didn't start this later in life, so I sound like old Elton because I haven't ruined my voice.
Oh.
For decades, I rested it, really, not knowing.
Right. Were you a singer when you were younger?
I know you were a musician,
yeah. But...
I sang my whole life, but not professionally.
But outside of the bathroom? Because that's where I've done most of my singing.
Most of mine was in the shower.
Yeah.
Most of mine was in the shower. But I used to, it was famous, I'd be in the basement with a headset on and I'd just be singing. And a lot of them because Elton was my favorite artist.
Yeah.
In fact, you remember the Mississauga train derailment? Way back in the day?
Yeah.
I missed it because I was in the basement with the headphones on listening to Saturday Night Strike for Fighting about 47 times. Everyone told me about it the next day.
I didn't know.
Really? I took them off and someone said, you know what happened? And it was just down, you know, not far from me. I was in Mississauga and I had no idea.
Ron, your bio says that this was a one-off. It started as a one-off.
Yeah.
So how did that first gig happen where you went on stage to perform Elton John music while working a little harder at looking like Elton John?
Okay, so here's the story. I was just started my own studio. I was writing music for television, which was something I was doing full time. I'm very happy doing it. My brother, who used to be the president of Sony when I was at Sony as director of Columbia, he was now off running a big media company. And one day he calls me up and he says, you know, I got like 3,000 employees. He says, let's just go have some fun like we did when we were kids in the basement. So we got some musicians together. We went to a little pub in Etobicoke on a Sunday with nobody there.
Yeah.
Said, let's just play songs. So I'm a guitarist, so we're playing Beatles and Oasis and everything. And I brought a piano because we didn't have enough songs to play. And when I sat down and sang Rocket Man, the place went crazy. And I put the guitar back on, we play a couple more songs, and some woman yells out, do another Elton John song.
Uh-huh.
So I did, and then the owner came and said, you got to come back next week. You guys are great. I'll pay you a little more money. I'll come back. So now we had to come up with a set list because we didn't have enough songs. So we did a whole Elton John set. And that's how it started. From there, I got a bigger place. And from there, next thing you know, I'm headlining at the Burlington Sound and Music Festival.
Wow.
A couple festivals later, I get invited to play the Elton John convention in Las Vegas. We meet the band, and the band tells us we're the best Elton John tribute in the world. So now I'm like, I better spend some money and get some sequin clothes. and now I have
That's the only reason you'd ever, by the way, need sequin clothes.
Oh, I know where to get them. And I know all the ladies downtown Toronto that have all the textiles. They all know me as Mr. Elton.
Oh. Do you have your costumes made?
I do, basically, yeah. I come up with an idea, and then I'll call one of maybe three or four people that sew my clothes for me. And I say, look, I need the biggest thing we've ever done is like I usually make a football sweater or Chicago. Oh. The first time I played in Chicago was right after they won the World Series. So I had a Chicago Cubs uniform done all in sequence. And when I walked out on stage to start the show, I got a 5-minute standing ovation without ever playing a note because I was wearing this costume.
Kind of great.
Yeah.
I think Michael Bublé has taken a page from that book.
Yeah, maybe. But
he wears a hockey jersey quite often to start the
show.
Mine
are all dazzled. Mine are all sequined up. And then after the show, there was a lineup of like 300 people to take a picture. I got women that were offering to take me to ball games, or they wanted the outfit, or, you know, can I borrow it for a night? I just started to do it. And everywhere we went, actually, we were lucky. We booked Chicago. They won the World Series. We booked Philadelphia, they won the Super Bowl. Everything happens. So now we're starting to play a lot in Buffalo, and I know they're going to win the Super Bowl because we're playing
gigs. Can you just play in Toronto a little bit more?
Well,
for the least.
Okay, you know, here's the funniest thing. I grew up in Mississauga, and I have never been hired to headline a show as Elton Ron in Mississauga. They just won't touch me. I can go to Las Vegas. I can go to Atlantic City.
Is it that Canadian thing where we don't always appreciate our own talent?
Well, it might be. I think that a lot of artists in general, their hometown is their toughest market because they take them for granted.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of things going on in festivals and theater shows that maybe you don't realize. There's a lot of artists out there like protect their turf, so they don't want anybody else to come in and take away from their livelihood.
Well, how about Elton John? How does he feel about you doing this? Do you know?
He knows for sure.
He knows. How do you know he knows?
We went to Vegas and we met the band.
Right.
And Davey said they watch our videos backstage.
Oh.
And they love it. They think we're great. And that's when he complimented us, saying we were the best in the world. And everything. So I know they know us. And apparently we were at one show, and my merch guy told me this guy walked in and he said he looked exactly like David Furnish.
Oh.
And I went, really? He said, yeah. I said, did he come in to see the show? He goes, no, he just looked at the merch table, I guess, to make sure there was nothing that was illegal.
Right.
And then he walked out.
Interesting.
And the other thing that people maybe don't realize is Elton gets paid when we play. He gets a percentage of our ticket sales.
Well, of course, because you're performing his music.
That's right. So SoCan collect a fee, and it actually goes out to Elton. So he does pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at all the tribute entertainers around the world, the original artists are all getting paid pretty well.
Would you like to meet him, or at this point, does it not matter?
You know, I came so close when I was at Sony as Director Columbia. I had Billy Joel on the label. So I went on the Elton Billy Joel tour for 4 dates. I said, I'm going to meet Elton.
Elton John and Billy Joel, I remember when they've toured together, and it's like, come on, that's incredible.
Yeah,
two
it was unbelievable.
Super talents, great pianists, both of them.
Phenomenal shows. Although I will say this, I saw the show in Las Vegas where it sounded like they were in my living room, both of them. It was such a spectacular sound. No, it was so beautiful, so intimate. The piano sounded like it was right beside you. Then we came to Toronto and they played the Rogers Centre when they were first starting concerts.
Yeah, well,
that's when Elton famously said, I'll never come back here and play again.
Yes,
and now he's come back like 6 times. But
thank God he did.
Yeah, thank God he did. So, but the bottom line is, every time I went on tour, I'd see Billy. He's always there. He's
Billy Joel.
Sound checking.
One name basis over here. Billy.
Oh yeah, sorry.
I'd see Billy.
He was one of my big artists when I was at Sony.
Yeah.
And but Elton would never come to sound check, and right after the show, he'd get on the plane and leave. So I came within feet of him many times. When I would just, you know, in passing at shows, but I never spoke to
him.
Well,
listen, he's going to be a Torontonian sooner than later when he moves into his big fancy penthouse. So I'm sure your paths will cross. Before we let you go, can I put you on the spot to get like a line or two of Rocket Man? Only because you've talked about how much you sound.
Rocket Man?
Well, you've mentioned that song. Do you have one you prefer? You know, we don't, we will hear you sing at your show, but you know, for listeners who kind of like, okay, let's hear what you got.
Well, I'll tell you, every time someone asks me to sing something, there's certain songs that what I call as being in the pocket, that when I hear them, I said, oh, I can do that.
Okay.
For sure. So I'll just do a little bit of Someone Saved My Life Tonight, right?
Great.
When I think of those Eastern nights, muggy nights, the curtains draw in a little room downstairs. Prima donna, Lord, you really should have been there, sitting like a princess perched in her electric chair. What do you think?
I actually didn't want you to stop. Truth be known, I didn't want you to stop. But we do have to stop. So thank you so much for coming in.
And thank you for having me.
We appreciate
it. We love Zoomer. You're basically sponsoring a show for us at Meridian, which is much appreciated.
We're happy to, and it's great that you just shared with our audience how this is like a second career for you later in life. Because
I'm a Zoomer.
We're all Zoomers. Well, except for Dan, who's our producer, who's going to be a Zoomer someday. He's a Zoomer at heart.
Sure.
And listen, I just want to remind everybody, we are giving away two tickets to see Elton Ron in concert.
Cool.
That's November 26th at Meridian Hall. So to enter our contest, go to zoomerradio.ca. Thanks so much, Ron.
Thanks, Liz.